This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell. Thanks for tuning in on this Monday afternoon. Kathy Wade will be here later to tell you about this week's Crown Jewels of Jazz Heritage Festival, taking place in Washington Park and in Eden Park, featuring concerts by local groups and a big finale with Diane Shore and the Blue Wisp Big Band. But first, let's talk about Zits. No, not acne. The comic strip Zits. The comic's been wildly popular since it debuted back in 1997, and now you can find it in more than 1,600 newspapers in 45 countries and 15 languages. The comic really strikes a chord with its stories of the teenage angst and boredom of aspiring rock star Jeremy Duncan and his friends as they maneuver through those murky waters of adolescence. Zits is the brainchild of Pulitzer Prize-winning artist Jem Borgman and award-winning cartoonist writer Jerry Scott, who also co-creates the popular Baby Blues strip. The two have just released Zits Chillax, a novel. Jem Borgman here in the studio with me, and Jerry Scott's joining us on the phone. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mark. Always good to be here.
Thank you, Mark.
Now, Zits fans, if you have a comment or question, you can call 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, post a question on Facebook, or tweet us at 917WVXU. So I called it a novel, but it's more than a novel, but it's not a graphic novel. How do you explain to folks what Zits Chillax is?
We're calling it an illustrated novel, and it's aimed mainly at young adults, but everybody is welcome to enjoy it. It is about half text and half pictures. And it uses the same cast of characters that we use in the comic strip, but they get to tell a longer story and go on a longer adventure.
So, Jerry, between the two of you, whose idea was to do this illustrated novel?
That's a good question. probably more guilty than Jim is of pushing the idea. You know, it seemed like a good opportunity for us, and maybe a next step. I think it was a place that I could use all the leftover words that I had from all these comic strips I keep writing.
Well, it's a wonderful story about Jeremy and his friend Hector wanting to go to a rock concert without any parental supervision, I guess you could say, going to the Gingivitis concert, and all with on the behest of their friend Tim, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But this, I love how the story, you know, is not only the words but the pictures, because it's about half and half. It's not just, you call it an illustrated novel. To me, that's, well, the pictures are just, you know, showing what's in the words, but really the pictures are telling the story at times too.
Well, that's the way we tried to do it. Yeah, thanks for noticing that. The pictures, you know, push the story forward. And they're not just tacked on at the end. Jerry and I write this thing in a real kind of organic way that I can't imagine that Melville did. But we both kind of write. Jerry does by far the heavy lifting on the writing. But I try to, you know, tack on what I can and contribute what I can. And likewise, he suggests most of the drawings and how they might look. He's a cartoonist himself and thinks visually the way I do. So we sort of share a brain and just force the story down the road as we go.
It's true. It is kind of how it works. We very purposely made these illustrations move the story along, because that's how we work in the comic strip, a good comic strip. And every time we try to, we do a strip, we try to integrate those pictures and words so that they work hand in hand, and one doesn't work well without the other. And I think we were pretty successful with this.
Mm-hmm. Where did Zits come from between the two of you? How did you get together
and we
have Zits? Yeah, back in 1997.
In the very beginning, in 96, I was asked to give a talk down in Arizona, and Jerry lived in Arizona, and it was March, and you know how Cincinnati can be in March. And I called the only guy I knew down there and said, what should I do? I hate to just fly down there and then fly right back and into this gray part of the year. So he suggested I go up to Sedona, Arizona, beautiful red rock country. And he told me about a place they had where you get a cabin and that sort of thing. Before you know it, Jerry had talked himself into coming along, too.
I'm really convincing that way.
So we spent a weekend just hiking around and not talking about cartoons. That was the deal. We were not going to talk shop. But on the last day, I was sitting on the porch of my cabin, and Jerry came over with his sketchbook just before we were about to leave, and he said, I'm trying to do a comic strip about a teenager, and it just doesn't look right. You know, you want to look at these drawings? So he had been doing Baby Blues, and he had worked on the old comic strip Nancy. So he had been drawing these little squatty figures, little kids with big heads and short bodies. And I said, oh, that's not the way I would think of a teenager. They'd drape themselves over the furniture and, you know, slouch all over and stuff. So I just started drawing teenagers in my sketchbook. And all of a sudden, we felt like we got something here that may be bigger than the both of us.
Well, and,
you know, there was times in my life, you know, when I know that something is right, and this was one of those times when I heard the chimes from heaven or something. But it was just, oh dear, this is right. His drawing and my writing, and I don't know. It was just a feeling.
So you were in Cincinnati, Jim. Where were you living at the time, Jerry?
At the time, I was in a little town called Cave Creek, Arizona, just north of Phoenix.
Is that where you still live, or have you moved?
No, right now I'm living in San Luis Obispo, California, near the coast, and between right about the middle between Los Angeles and San Francisco.
So how do you collaborate across long distances? You know, you said you're both very visual. Well, Jim, you said you're visual thinkers, but, you know, that seems, it's one thing to speak to each other, but how do you share those visual thoughts?
That's really weird, isn't it? We talk every day, lots. We're good friends. And we do plenty of emailing and faxing. In the old days, it was faxing. Now it's emailing. But the truth is that anymore, you know, we can be talking and say, wait a minute, that sounds like an idea. And then with just a few words, Jerry will say, you know, maybe the first panel. Okay, I see where that's. Yeah, okay, I got it. And that's kind of as much as we need to do.
Wow.
Very, very visual talkers. Wow.
Did you all have bubbles over your head? No, I'm teasing about that. Well, did you imagine, you know, you heard those chimes in heaven, as you said, Jerry. Did you imagine here, what, 16 years later, that Zitz is becoming a teenager itself?
Oh, man, that is a surprise. It surprises me every time I stop to think about it, because we did not look at it as a long-term project. You know, it was like, this could be funny, this could be good, but how long could it last? I don't know. 10 years would be great. I'd be surprised. And all of a sudden, it's been more than that and going strong. And the best part, we're still having a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm. And now these new novels, you know, we're working on the second, we're almost done with the second one now. It'll be called Shredded, and it'll be out in January. And it feels like a whole new venue, another way to tell a story. You know, you get to, as Jerry has said, writing comic strips is like haiku. You're boiling down and boiling down and boiling down everything, you know, into three little panels that they shrink down to the size of a postage stamp in the newspaper. And in a book form, you know, you get to stretch out. You get to, use all those words that you've been boiling away all these years and tell the story in a longer way. It's great. It's fun.
I'm talking to Jerry Scott and Jim Borgman, the co-creators of Zitz, the comic strip. They have a new illustrated novel out called Zitz Chillax. I guess I could say that right. I'm trying to say it right. I just learned chillax somewhere between chill and relax, so I guess that belies my age. You can ask them a question or make a comment about Zitz if you enjoyed it. You can call 513-419-7100 or email us at talk@wvxu.org. Now, how much work goes into the daily strip? You know, the words and the drawings coming together in that storyline. How much do y'all collaborate?
Oh boy, like Jim said earlier, we talk on the phone every day, and that certainly is the genesis of most of the ideas. But you know, when I get asked that question, how long does it take to write a comic strip?
It's only three panels. No, I'm teasing.
Yeah. The answer is usually, you know, how long is a piece of string? It just sort of depends. Some days it's 10 seconds to write a funny idea. Other times it may be 7 or 8 hours of staring at my navel before something funny occurs to me. So it just depends. And this collaboration we have, it is fairly unusual in syndicated comics. There haven't been a lot of collaborations, and this one is the most successful and most organic that I can think of.
I tell you, Mark, you're talking, not me, to, and Jerry, you're talking to one of, is it two or three people in history who have ever had two comic strips in over 1,000 newspapers?
Really?
I think Jerry, there's like me and George Washington and somebody, I can't remember the other guy.
Yeah, you know, it's true. Mort Walker and I think Johnny Hart both had two strips at a time in those, that popular, but. Jerry's one of the kingpins.
Jerry, you know, how do you give advice to someone who wants to become a cartoonist? Because I'm sure they ask you all the time, how can I do what you do?
I tell them to go into radio because I don't need the competition.
I get it. Well, I also want to ask, you know, we were talking about the origin of Zitz way back when in 1997. But how, I imagine... You had teenagers of your own at the time and had some walking illustrations of what teenagers do. How autobiographical was it or is it when it comes to these ideas?
When Susanna and I got married in 2003, I had two teenagers and she had three teenagers. And so for the first couple years of our married life, we had five teenagers under our roof.
Woof.
And I had my drawing board was set up in a kind of a common workroom where all the computers were and such. And I just listened. I just listened to whatever came my way. And an awful lot came my way. And then I'd funnel all that to Jerry, protecting the guilty, but you know, never betrayed our kids' lives in the paper directly, but they contributed in lots of creative ways over the years. And then Jerry's, go ahead.
Jerry. Go ahead, Jerry.
A relay race, kind of a relay where Jim's kids were growing and sort of moving out of the house, moving on to college, and about that time, my older daughter came online as a teenager. And so I had one in the house until she is going to college now. She's at Indiana University, and I have a younger daughter who's turning 12 in a few months, and so she's going to fill in and be a teen for us. You know, an awful lot of it too is a memory, and just observation.
Mm-hmm. Well, it you know, we all see that ring of truth and verisimilitude, I think, in all our lives as it goes along. I'm talking to Jim Borgman and Jerry Scott, the co-creators of Zitz. They have an illustrated novel now in bookstores, Zitz Chillax. We'll continue the conversation after a break. And remember, you can be part of that discussion by sharing your comments and questions. 513-419-7100. Email us talk@wvxu.org. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. A new novel with cartoons, or actually the illustrated novel, Zitz Chillax, is in bookstores now. And this afternoon on Cincinnati Edition, Zitz creative team Jim Borgman and Jerry Scott are joining me. You can ask Jim or Jerry a question or a comment by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing us talk@wvxu.org. Matt from Montgomery is on the phone. Good afternoon, Matt.
Yes, hi. Jim?
Hello.
This is Matt Schwarber.
Hi, Matt.
I haven't talked to you in a long time.
Right. How are you?
Well, I'm sorry. I think Matt was there. And you still there, Matt? Oh, I'm sorry. We lost you, Matt. You'll have to call back. So who's Jim? Jim. Who is Matt?
Matt and I went to grade school together.
Oh, my gosh.
As I suspect many, many people we may hear from. I was in this town a long, long time, you know?
Yeah. Well, we get another call. Well, let's see if we'll have another call in just a moment. But I wanted to ask you, Jerry, as it's going along here, and Zitz has continued to grow. Do either of you kind of hit a brick wall when it comes to ideas? It seems that teenagers are always finding new ways to entertain us, both in life and in Zitz.
You know, I don't really have that problem of running out of ideas. I think the secret for comic strips is to go maybe smaller and smaller, deeper and deeper into the minutia of life. And that's what I really enjoy, is just finding the familiar in the universal. Where I can write something about the most mundane subject, but find just a small twist in it, and Jim can make it so visual and people can understand it immediately. And we get this wonderful comment from so many viewers, is that like, oh, that happens in my house all the time. You must have a camera in my house. And so we know we've done something right.
As it goes along. Well, Fred from Fairfield is on the line. Good afternoon, Fred. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hello.
Hi there. You have a question or comment for Jim? Goodness gracious, having some fun with our phone system this afternoon. They had just said they fixed it here as it went along. I wanted to ask Jim about Jeremy and his sneakers, his oversized sneakers. I mean, that's what it is. You know, you talked about him draping himself over the furniture. Where did the big sneakers come from?
We made them as big as kayaks sometimes.
Yes.
They're always hard to get around in the room. Yeah. Well, you know, they're just some of the icons of you. You've been there. You've had kids in your house. You know, these things are universal. You just think you're writing about your kid, but in fact, parents everywhere from Norway and wherever will, you know, write us and say, "That's my kid. You know my kid."
Well, I wanted to ask about the universality of it all, because you are in so many countries with this teenager, and you know, these teenagers, I guess, are about the same everywhere. Is that what you've been finding?
It came as a surprise to us. I mean, we didn't know. We weren't trying to do that. We didn't research kids in other countries or anything like that. We just draw about the ones we know and try to crack each other up. And then, lo and behold, you find out that this is talking to other people, too.
Favorite story about that is I have a friend who was a cartoonist in Finland, and he was telling me about a cocktail party he went to. He was in the military. This friend of mine was in the military at one time, and he was at this military-related party, and a very important Finnish army general was there, and my friend Jerki was talking to this general, and asked if the general read comic strips, and of course he got a pretty predictable reaction of kind of a dour, you know, and no, from this man. No, I do not read comic strips, except for that one about the teenage boy with the big shoes. Now this one I like.
Well, with the new illustrated novel Zitz Chillax, what audience did you intend it for? You know, it says young adults on it. I'm a voracious reader. I'll read about anything, or at least try to read about anything. And I loved it and the way it, you know, flowed.
Good.
But I'm wondering, you know, when you were putting it together, what audience did you have in mind?
Well, there is a little mission behind it, Mark, actually. You know, we're mucking around in the teenage universe for all these years, and you can't help but start seeing where the issues are for kids. And a lot of kids have just lost their interest in reading. Mm-hmm. And especially in the longer formats, I know they text and all that.
140 characters, that's okay.
And things like that. But, you know, as far as books, a lot of teachers and librarians and parents have told us, you know, that my son just doesn't want to read anything. And so these books, you know, that are half pictures are a little bit easier to break into than a lot of, you know, gray type, easier than Ivanhoe. And that was kind of the mission behind it, is, well, maybe we can keep them engaged for a little bit longer. You know, these, especially boys, it turns out, kind of ages 10 to 16 or something like that. This is a story. Our characters appeal to those kids. And maybe we can keep them engaged with books for a little while longer until something else happens, some spark lights, and they, you know, then they're...
Yeah, maybe even a bridge between... books, chapter books that you first start reading in, you know, in the middle grades, elementary school in the middle grades. But it's a big jump going from Diary of a Wimpy Kid to, you know, fill in a blank.
Yes.
When I was a freshman in high school, the first thing I was handed when I went into English class was a novel called Ivanhoe that I just found so difficult to get through. And I think had I had something like Chillax, something that was, you know, a real story with humor and with pictures, I may have been more engaged in reading myself through the high school years. I just did not enjoy it then. I'm a voracious reader now, and I somehow overcame that. But Jim and I think, like he said, if there is a mission here, it is, you know, maybe we can just give a hand to kids making that leap across that canyon from you know, Junie B. Jones to Tale of Two Cities.
Well, we're speaking with Jerry Scott and Jim Borgman. You can too at 513-419-7100. Back to Matt, Jim's old friend Matt, who was cut off.
Yes.
Hi, Matt. You're back on the air in Cincinnati.
Are you
Edition.
There?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, this is Jim.
I'm mad at you.
I think so. Well, and gosh, I wonder what he's really wanting to say to Jim. So 513-419-7100. Please try again there, Matt. I wanted to ask Jerry how it was jumping from jumping from Baby Blues to Zits. You know, as you're going with these, you know, jumping across the generations there.
I don't know why it seemed natural to me, but it did seem natural. I've always had trouble just having one job, and some sort of compunction to work too much. But it seems natural to me that the two strips have very different voices, and you know, Baby Blues was really based on my business partner Rick Kirkman's first and second children. And then later when my kids came along, it sort of filled in. And I guess it really does make me an exploiter, doesn't it?
It could be considered so, Jerry. But, well, you know, through the years, you have, it seems seamlessly incorporated the changing technologies. Because when you started in 1997, well, some people had cell phones, but not a lot of people. And, you know, they were, you know, big bricks, if you may. How easy or difficult is it to try to keep up with the trends, both technologically and otherwise, these days?
That's actually a fairly big challenge. When we take a vacation sometimes and do some reruns, we'll reach back 4 or 5 years, and you have to be careful. You know, those strips might be using some technology that wasn't around or that isn't, you know, or was around then, faxing and, you know, that sort of thing. I can remember doing strips that introduced texting, you know. it changes pretty fast these days, yeah.
It does, and the language changes, and we're pretty careful about not getting too deeply into teenage slang, because I think that's a really sticky kind of path to go down. We try to stay as current as possible, and I think technologically is probably the safer bet to stay current on that, because it's funny, language changes so quickly throughout the country and from region to region that sometimes one word doesn't mean the same thing in Philadelphia as it does in Los Angeles. So.
And I always wonder when they translate some of our strips into other languages. You know, we're in 15 languages. I don't know those people who are doing that translating. And when you do something that's kind of specific to the English language, a little wordplay or something like that, what do they do? And I talked to one of those translators once, and I said, "What do you do? What do you do in this situation? Maybe it depends on the words rhyming, or it's something that only Americans would know." And he said, "Oh, we just make something up."
Does that make you feel good or bad?
I'd rather not know.
I don't want to think about it. No.
We heard back from Matt, Jim, and Matt said Matt from the Cub Scouts says he is very proud of you and is buying the book. So that's
you,
what
Matt
was trying to say. Here's Tom from Wilder on Cincinnati Edition. Good afternoon, Tom. Hello, Tom. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi, Tom. You got a question for Jim or Jerry?
Hello.
Hello. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. We're evidently having some serious technical difficulties here. I'll go to Bruce from Burlington. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon. This is for Jim Borgman. I just want to appreciate his work, and we adorn our refrigerator with his art, with their stories and artwork. Because I swear, Jim has a camera on my family because I have a Jeremy in our house.
Uh-huh.
And it's so hilarious that every once in a while, you do my wife and my son, and it's like, holy cow.
But you never show up in that comic strip, do you?
You're watching us for some reason. But anyway, I just love his work, and we have quite a few of his books and some of his artwork.
It's great to hear it.
I want to say thanks, and I appreciate his work.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too, Tom. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for saying so, Tom. Yeah, that's one thing that went away when I left the editorial page of the Inquirer about 4 years ago. That sort of daily conversation I was having with the city ended, and that was the hardest part about leaving. You know, I had my say, and Lord knows the town had heard enough of what I thought. But, you know, that feeling of being in connection with all these folks, and we were really talking over coffee every day for 30-some years. That was a hard thing to watch go away. I'm glad to know they still remember me here.
Yes, it did. Well, Jerry, you know, Jim has said, and we just heard it there as well about you know, the camp. You must have a camera in my house. Well, what else do you hear frequently from fans of Zits?
Boy, we are so lucky. We have such great readers, appreciative readers. It's easy to get a big head just listening or reading some of the emails that we do get. You know, what else do we hear, Jim?
Well, they'll often say, you really nail my wife and son.
Well, that's what I was trying to ask Bruce. So, Bruce, yeah. Walt, there's never anything like you, right?
That is off a bit, but yeah.
Well, Dave from Green Hills, good afternoon. You're on Cincinnati Edition. Oh, excuse me, Tom, you got cut off before. Can you hear us now, Tom? Hello, Tom? Okay, well, let's try Dave. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Cincinnati Edition. How you doing, Dave? No. All right. I'm sorry for our technical difficulties here. 513-419-7100. You can try it, or better, perhaps email us, talk@wvxu.org, or post a comment on Facebook, or give us a tweet as well, as we talk to Jim Borgman and Jerry Scott. And I wanted to ask Jerry, as you have been working with Jim through the years, whether you've ever had a disagreement about things, and what does Jim do that kind of can sometimes get your ire up? Or if you can say.
If I could say. You know, it is really interesting. We've been working together for 15, 16 some years now, and I can't say that there's ever been a huge disagreement. There's a certain tolerance and respect between us, I think, professionally, and then a friendship personally that has just really been remarkable. And the abuse that he endures from me, where I can write something that says, okay, the scene here in this joke is, you know, the inside of the Super Bowl, you know, the Superdome during the Super Bowl, and there's, you know, 42 cars going around the infield and 19 cheerleaders, and then he has to draw it. And then he does. It's just really terrific. You know, going back briefly on that technological standpoint, you know, the subject of technology, FaceTime seems like such an obvious thing for cartoonists that we could just FaceTime what's the other thing called?
Skype.
Skype each other. We have tried that, and it's so odd. It's uncomfortable. Jim and I were in a coffee shop in Colorado a couple of years ago, face to face with sketchbooks, trying to come up with ideas. And within 30 minutes, I think, we found ourselves turned around, back to back, having a conversation, and it was so much more comfortable.
Way easier, yeah.
Not looking at each other.
No.
Well, I'm looking at Jim right now, and I can see why you might think that, Jerry.
We're actually uncomfortable being in the same state.
Oh.
the same room is very rare.
I wanted to try to catch up with these technical difficulties on the phone, Jim. Tom, who had called before, wanted to thank you for a Ted Kozlowski comic that you did. Oh. Still brings tears to his eyes even still today. And they had another comment about an earlier caller who got cut off was saying, I think you have a camera in my house.
Okay, well, see.
You're nailing it as it goes along. So let's try another phone call, 513-419-7100, the number to call. Here's Mike from Villa Hills. Dave from Green Hills, excuse me. Hello, Dave. Okay, well, we try and we try, but we do what we can. So you
tell me about yourself, Mark.
Well, my daughter got married yesterday,
yeah,
so at a wedding, I'm trying to stand up straight, and I'm doing fine. But I want to say you've said you have another illustrated novel in the works. What do you see for the future, Jeremy and friends?
Well, we hope we get to keep writing these novels. We enjoy doing it. It's been really fun to have a new learning curve at this point in our careers. So we've got this 2-book contract, and the second one is we're literally on the last chapter of that now. So we'll see, you know, how that's received. We hope people like these and, you know, find that it helps maybe keep their kids reading books, and we'd love to nothing more than to keep doing a series. Other than that, you know, doing a comic strip is a lot like walking on a treadmill. You know, they come out 7 days a week, all mm-hmm. year long, and luckily I have to say it feels like we're still plowing new ground, and it, you know, people tell us that it still feels fresh and is still reflecting their lives, so that's, you know, that's the highest compliment we can get. I hope we're still on track.
Well, I'm afraid we're out of time, and sorry again for all those callers who wanted to ask Jim or Jerry a question, but thank you, Jerry, appreciate your time today.
You're most welcome. I had a great time. Thank you.
And thank you, Jim, too.
Thank you, Mark.
Jerry Scott on the phone, Jim Borgman in the studio, talking about Zits Chillax, a novel now available where books are sold. Learn more about it on our website, wvxu.org. Kathy Wade tells you about this week's Crown Jewels of Jazz Heritage Festival straight ahead. This is Cincinnati Edition.